Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks. wow. You know, I was checking out the Twitter feed on the during the commercial break, and I saw that Mark of the Beast was trending on Twitter, and I thought, oh, geez, Lou, what have we done now? What have we done now? You'd spend a few minutes talking about the Easter movies going for $6.66 down at the Walmart, and then you got that, who's the rap artist with the Satan tennis shoes? Fortunately, though, it's not us. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, weighing in on these vaccine passports that New York State is implementing. Let's take a listen real quick.
They want you to be required to have something called a COVID passport. And this would mandate your ability to be able to travel, your ability to be able to go to events, your ability to be able to buy and sell. And I asked the question earlier today, is this something like Biden's Mark of the Beast? Because that is really disturbing and not good. Oh, if you're going to come into the football game or the baseball game or the concert, you need your vaccine passport because we're trying to do a good job to keep everyone safe. This is what the Biden administration is trying to talk to these private companies into doing. Well, let's analyze that. You see, it's still the same thing. It's still fascism or communism, whatever you want to call it, but it's coming from private companies. So I have a term for that. I call it corporate communism. They want you to be required to have something called
the Mark of the Beast, Satan. Well, I mean, it could be. I don't know. But anyway, there you go. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, the vaccine passports, the Mark of the Beast. Let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. A good friend of this program, one of the great broadcasters of all time. He is a host of Spicer and Company on Newsmax TV. Sean Spicer. Sean, good to have you with us today.
I was trying to figure out who your next guest was because that was quite the intro there, Todd.
Well, I needed to make up for the fact that we were segueing from the Mark of the Beast to Sean Spicer. So. Sean, we are always delighted to have you on the program. And, of course, you know, the Biden administration's handling of the China virus crisis, it's really got a lot of people scratching their heads.
Todd, I'm sorry. It's your show. But there's no crisis. We've got to stop using that word. We've been told by both the Biden administration and the Associated Press that we're not to use the word crisis. So I don't mean to correct you on your own show, but we got to stop using this word crisis. I mean, somebody would think there's something really bad going down there at the southern border if we kept using it.
I stand corrected, Sean. Yes, the whatever it is happening down there, spring break for illegals, I don't know. But let's break down a couple of stories that have come out over the past 24 hours. In San Diego County, they're actually sending in school teachers, public school teachers, for in-person education for the illegals, while American school children are having to stay at home and do school online. I mean, how is this remotely fair to the American people?
Todd, I'm sorry. We have gotten guilted into everything these days between what's going on culturally in society with all of the issues that we're facing in terms of race. And now this whole thing on the southern border, I'm compassionate. I feel bad for folks that have a hardship or a hard life. But my goodness, I mean, to your point, we're now allowing anybody who wants to come to our southern border not only to come in and ignore our laws, but then be given things that, frankly, hotel rooms and education and things that some Americans don't have the right to or are entitled to at this point. It's amazing, like, how we have allowed this to occur as opposed to, you know, just a few years back, we were known as a compassionate people that tried to take care of people, you know, but in a very orderly and lawful way. It is now guilty. It is a sense of guilt upon us if we don't just let who wants to come into the country when they want, how they want, and roll out the red carpet for them.
No, look, this is it's a fair observation. And then you, within the administration, you have Kamala Harris seeming to balk at the instructions of the president, saying she's in charge. Her spokesperson says, yeah, we're not going down there. We're not handling this. It really does make you wonder what is going on at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, I mean, look, you got to give it to Kamala Harris in the sense that she understood what a political hot potato this was and was like, no, 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 you're not throwing that my way. I've seen what's going on down there. You may not want to call it a crisis, but I understand that, you know, I want to run for president very soon, and I can't be in charge of this, so you take it back.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Sean Spicer from Newsmax TV. Sean, when you look at the early days of the Biden administration, I mean, you've been in the White House. What are your observations on where this administration is taking the country?
Look, the funny part about this, Todd, is that when he was a candidate, President Biden said, I'm going to be the most progressive president ever. And a bunch of folks, including people on the right, the establishment right, ran out and said, no, you know, we've known Joe Biden a long time. He's a good guy. That's not going to happen. And he is doing everything he said he was going to do in terms of embracing this far left progressive socialist agenda. And nobody believed him. And they're ramming it through real quick because they get it. They have a limited amount of time to guarantee a Democratic House, a Democratic president, and a Democratic Senate. So they're going to get through everything from election reform to domestic spending to you name it. If it's been on the progressive wish list, it's going to happen in the next 12 months. Their time is limited. This president is complicit in allowing it to happen because he wants a legacy as the most progressive president. So I just don't see anything that's not on the far left, not at least attempted to get done, whether it's gun control, election reform, massive amounts of spending, tax increases. It's all coming our way.
Meanwhile, your former boss is churning out a lot of press releases lately, going after Dr. Fauci, called Dr. Birx a liar, and really just not only defending his record, his time in office, but laying the foundation for the future. Where do you think this is going with Team Trump? You think we're gonna see a redo in 2024?
It's interesting that I have watched the president's comments and his statements, and it's interesting. I almost feel like he's having fun. You know, he's out there weighing in on the issues, supporting the candidates that he wants, but at his own pace. It's kind of funny. I mean, we got used to him doing it at such a furious pace in terms of weighing in and tweeting everything. That now that he's kind of got a groove where it's in press release form, it's taken everyone by surprise because there was a little bit of a pause. But I think he's kind of found his groove and sort of pulling his punches and making sure that he sets the record straight when it comes to these folks, Fauci and Birx, who are out there, you know, almost forgetting some of the accomplishments this president had when it came to Operation Warp Speed and presenting this country with not just one, but two vaccines at the time before he left office in record time.
Yeah, I mean, this press release, I loved he went after Fauci, called him a lousy athlete. I get it. I think he is having fun. And I think he knows what he did for this country. The American people know. And I think, at the end of the day, we're not going to relitigate what happened in 2020. But I think we all have a pretty clear understanding of what really went down during that presidential election. And honestly, though, Sean, the people that are suffering the most are your competitors. Those folks over in the mainstream media, their ratings are in the toilet because this president is no longer in office.
Well, Todd, there's a reason. First of all, I appreciate it. Thank you for noting that. But there's a reason that Newsmax is doing as well as it is, and that's because I think people are tired of what they're being served up in the mainstream media, and frankly, that's got to be a bigger definition. But I was watching the Sunday shows because I have to, and it was the way that the folks in the mainstream media, whether it's Jonathan Carl or Chuck Todd, have now become full-on open advocates for the agenda of the left, whether it's on gun control or it's on election reform, quote-unquote. These guys literally have no shame anymore. They don't try to hide their bias. And I think people enjoy going to Newsmax. I enjoy my show every night at 6, where We get to actually have a really robust and honest discussion about what's happening. And I think that finally there's competition and places to go that there haven't been.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, Sean. I've become a huge fan, and Newsmax.com is seriously developing into this is like the Drudge Report for the new generation. I mean, you guys have tremendous stories, and your team is just doing a terrific job, and I hear from our listeners all the time. So best of luck to you there, and we're going to have to wrap it up here. But, Sean, tonight, what's coming up on the show?
Well, thanks, Todd. I appreciate you always having me. We're going to obviously talk about the border, talk about the Georgia reform. And then there's this new candidate in Alaska that's taking on Lisa Murkowski, who had earned the ire of the president for her votes and her comments. And we're going to have her on, talk about why she's running and taking on Lisa Murkowski, what her strategy is to beat her. But, you know, a lot of talk about the border and this new spending that the Biden administration is proposing.
Fantastic. All right, Sean, look forward to seeing you on TV tonight. Sean Spicer, ladies and gentlemen, you can watch him on Newsmax TV. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Todd.
And folks, you heard it from Sean himself. The border is in crisis. After President Trump secured the border with Mexico, everybody's worried about the growing problem. And why is the Biden administration spending $86 million on hotel rooms for captured migrants? So Grant Stinchfield is investigating the border crisis tonight, and he finds out the real truth about Biden's executive orders and his dangerous policies. So here's what I want you to do, folks. You got to watch Stinchfield on Newsmax TV tonight, 7 o'clock Central, as he reveals the dangers to our economy and our security. Folks, no doubt about it. You just heard Sean talking about it. Newsmax TV, one of America's leading cable news channels. It's on all major cable systems. And if you don't get it, all you have to do is call your cable operator. Tell them you want Newsmax, or you're going to switch to a new service. Remember that you can get Newsmax free on Roku, YouTube, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, or LG. It's even free on your smartphone. Just do what I did. Download the free Newsmax app and start watching anytime. And again, tonight, find out about the real border crisis on Grant Stinchfield tonight, Newsmax TV. It really is real news for real people. Now, look, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Marjorie Taylor Greene says that this Biden vaccine passport plan should very well be called the mark of the beast. Do you believe that to be the case? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you back with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go right to the telephones. Bob in Morehead City, North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind?
Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals for Developing a Social State. Item number 7, religion. Remove the belief of God from the government and the schools. And we've seen what's happened in the government. You can't pray. Look at the schools. The schools have been teaching socialism now for 30 years, and there's no place for God in socialism. And once you get that, then government becomes a god. So that's, and now they've gotten so bold, they're going right into the churches and taking religion out of the churches.
And, Bob, the pastors are letting them. Can you believe that? The preachers are just surrendering their pulpits to the government.
Some of these preachers, I think, are, you know, closet socialists to start with. You've got a lot of religious organizations are welcoming all of these illegals. They're bringing them in to the fold. In fact, a lot of nonprofit religious organizations is the one the government's dumping these kids on to take care of, and then they'll dump them onto town.
Bob, you're right. I mean, this is, look, here's my philosophy on life. I'm a Baptist. I'm a devout Christian. I'm also a constitutionalist, Bob. That means that you are free to live your life how you want to live your life in America. That doesn't mean I have to agree with how you live your life. You could be gay or straight. You could be a Republican or a Democrat. That's between you and God. That's not my call here. But, Bob, I'm telling you, under any other form of government, those people groups come under persecution. I mean, you just look at what the Muslims do to gay people. They're throwing them off of buildings in the Middle East, for goodness sakes. That does not happen here in America, one nation under God.
Not yet.
That's right. But, Bob, I'm telling you, if the socialists get control of this country, you watch what will happen. They're not only after they come after the Christians, they're going to be coming after the gays. They'll be coming after everybody. They'll be throwing all of us off the buildings.
And the news people don't understand that the news people are going to be going away, too. They don't understand that. They think it's part of the hierarchy right now. But you let a socialist government get into it and the newspapers will go away.
Bob, I need you to I may need Bob to fill in for me one of these days. There's a lot of truth coming out of Morehead City, North Carolina today. Bob, God bless you, sir. And thank you for listening to the program. But he's got a great point. All of these people in the mainstream media, they're coming after you. You don't believe me? Look at all the liberals that are under attack right now by the cancel culture mob. These are little socialist wannabes out there, and they're coming after Captain Underpants, for goodness sakes. I mean, come on. All right, let's go to Michigan. Dennis, listening to us on our live stream. Hi, Dennis, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I just, well, thanks for taking my call. I was just listening to the previous segment about the vaccine passport. Those are dangerous. And if you look at what they brought into New York for the vaccine passport, what you need to think about, and you can do the research on this, it's called the WUXI code, W-U-X-I, and they've had this in China for years. This is from the Communist Chinese Party. And yes, their vaccines are linked to the WUXI code. It's a QR barcode on their cell phones, just like the one in New York. But the government has taken this far, far down the road to include things like social scoring and facial recognition. So if you belong to the wrong party, you belong to the wrong church, you say the wrong things on social media, they can deprecate your social score, and all of a sudden, you can't take the train.
And Dennis,
you can't go to work.
And this is what concerns me, the collection of all this personal data. They know everything about you, and it seems as though the HIPAA laws have been completely wiped off the face of the earth. Because now everybody has to know your personal, private health business. That is an alarming thing. And Dennis, you're right to be concerned. All right, folks, got to take a quick break. Would you get one of these China virus passports? Is it really the mark of the beast? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. I want to ask a question here. It's a little politically incorrect, and I'm a little uncomfortable asking it, to be perfectly honest with you. But what the heck is wrong with Kamala Harris, the vice president, the woman who at any moment could stop being the president's nursemaid and become the next leaderette of the free world? Kamala Harris has a very odd problem, and it's I don't know what it is. I'm trying to analyze this issue, and I think I have my suspicion as to what may possibly be wrong with her. But she was talking about parents who are very distraught, parents who want their kids to get back to school. They can't reopen the schools. It's a very serious issue. And here's what happened with Kamala Harris.
more people are seeing that, yeah, affordable childcare is a big deal. More parents are seeing the value of educators when they had to bring their kids and say, we're not paying them nearly enough.
What was so funny? I don't understand that. Was there a joke in there somewhere? I mean, was somebody doing something, making like googly eyes at her or something in the audience? Can we play that one more time?
More people are seeing that, yeah, affordable childcare is a big deal.
Yeah, that's not funny. No. That's not it.
More parents are seeing the value of educators when they had to bring their kids and say, we're not paying them nearly enough.
Yeah, that's a knee slapper. Got a question. Do they conduct regular drug testing at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Because that kind of laughter. Someone sent me a note over the overnight as we had posted this on our website. And you can, by the way, you can see the video of this, which is a little disconcerting over at ToddStearns.com. But someone sent me a note and said, Todd, you know, this is very reminiscent of someone who this guy used to smoke a little weed, and said this is the behavior of someone who is on the wacky tobacco, as they say. Grace, why are you laughing at me? I'm trying to analyze a very serious problem here. Does this really sound like a woman who is qualified, who is ready to step in day one? Do you really want her finger on the button? I don't know about this. But there you go, Kamala Harris. No, I'm not saying she smokes weed. I'm just raising that as I'm just asking a question about the drug policies of the Biden administration. Just wondering about that. Meanwhile, have you seen this TikTok video that's gone viral? We have it on our website. A school teacher, and we don't know who this teacher is. She has either deleted her account or she has blocked it so the general public can't see this. But this is a school teacher. And she's got, I'm trying to paint a picture of this woman, a giant forehead, massive eyebrows that have been sculpted, and these huge, like, kitty cat style glasses, I guess that's a good way of describing it. And she looks, and you hate to stereotype a liberal, but she kind of looks like a liberal. You get the vibe just looking at the lady. So anyway, she's very upset, and she is calling out the Band-Aid company because Band-Aids are a symbol of racism. Let's take a listen.
White privilege. Think about it. Whose flesh tone is this? I have brown Band-Aids in my classroom. I had to special order them. They're twice as much as these, and they're hard to find, and they're frequently out of stock. But when I hand a brown child a white Band-Aid, I am literally adding insult to injury. And I refuse to do that in my classroom.
Huh. All right. I want to play this one more time. And I just want you to think about something. There's a child, and he's on the teeter-totter, the seesaw, on the playground at recess. And the child is, let's say the child weighs, I don't know, 45 pounds, all right? And then you have another child who weighs, I don't know, 150 pounds, decides to sit on the other side of the teeter-totter. Let's say he's on the totter side, and the little 45-pound kid is on the teeter side. And so what happens when that big, honking big kid sits down, and the kid who weighs 45 pounds on the teeter side goes up into the air and lands on the monkey bars and, like, busts his head open, cracks his head open. There's blood all over the place. And the teacher comes running out. And the child says, no, woman, stand back. I don't want one of those Caucasian Band-Aids on my face. Do you think that really happens? Let's go back. Seriously, now, do you think, here's the child, you're bleeding on the ground, let's say you're a minority child, you're bleeding on the ground, and then your teacher says this.
White privilege. Think about it. Whose flesh tone is this? I have brown Band-Aids in my classroom. I had to special order them. They're twice as much as these, and they're hard to find, and they're frequently out of stock. But when I hand a brown child a white Band-Aid, I am literally adding insult to injury, and I refuse to do that in my classroom.
So are people really having these conversations? I mean, is this something that is really happening in America right now? Are people gathered around in focus groups trying to figure out whether or not a Band-Aid offends them? This makes absolutely no sense to me. And again, it seems to me that if you've got a problem here, and she said that she had to go out there and she had to go buy brown Band-Aids, okay, well, what about the black kid? I mean, is the black kid going to be walking around with a brown Band-Aid? Is that going to be offensive? Shouldn't you get black Band-Aids too? Or what about the Asian American kid? I mean, where do you draw the line? So I went on TikTok, and Grace Baker, you know my philosophy. You know my rule about TikTok.
Yeah, you don't like it.
I don't like it because I'm not quite sure what it's all about.
You've got the wrong algorithm going on. Mine's full of dogs. It's a fun time.
All right. Well, I've got to figure something out.
Okay.
But so I went on the TikTok, and I was watching people's responses to this. And black TikTok users are just going bonkers over this. First of all, they're not like livid. They're not angry. They're just mocking this woman. It's like, who are you? Nobody's, and they're saying, again, the black community on TikTok, by and large, is saying, nobody's talking about this.
I think she is focusing on the wrong issues right now, if she thinks that's an issue.
But can I just say something here? And again, I love my cardiologist. I have a great cardiologist. I have to go in every couple of weeks for a blood test for the ticker. And I get a choice of Band-Aids. I can either have a nude colored Band-Aid, or I can have a Snoopy Band-Aid.
Well, I want the Snoopy Band-Aid.
I always go for the Snoopy Band-Aid.
Of course. The ones with the characters are better anyway.
That's right. You've had a rough day at the office. You can have a Snoopy or Linus or the little, what's the bird? Woodstock. Tweety Bird's the
oh, that's
Sylvester.
From Looney Tunes.
Sorry about that.
Be careful. They're getting canceled.
Woodstock. So anyway, this is what a woke school teacher looks like. This woman could be teaching your children. I mean, this is how bad it is, Grace.
That's why parents need to be more involved in their kids' education.
Or at least bring your own Band-Aids to class. I mean,
bring some with the characters. Bring them for the other kids, too.
Or what about the clear, they make them clear.
Yeah, the clear waterproof ones.
That would solve everything.
There you go.
Because even myself, I'm not exactly a dark-skinned white man. And so even me, when I have a Band-Aid, a flesh-colored nude Band-Aid, it still pops out.
Ah, yeah, because you don't really
should I be triggered?
Much, do you?
No.
You don't use the self-tanner.
Not a big fan. Not a big fan. It's like a human microwave. I'll stick some popcorn in there. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the video. You got to watch the video. You really do. Just the woman reeks of liberalism. And I got to tell you this before we run to break here. All the bandages in America cannot fix the gaping flesh wound that is critical race theory in America. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, all of you good listeners in Gainesville, Georgia, and Lafayette, Louisiana, listen up, heads up. Starting next week, you will hear this radio show live in your cities. So we're very excited to announce that our radio program is expanding, And we're going to be broadcasting live on WDUN in the beautiful city of Gainesville, Georgia. So that means all you folks will be able to call in real time and talk on the radio program. And we're going to have some terrific prizes for all of our new listeners in Gainesville, Georgia. And then all of you folks listening to us on KROF and KPEL, KPEL, in Lafayette, Louisiana. We're going to be broadcasting our show in your city as well. So we're really looking forward to that. Welcome to all of our new listeners. We're going to have to build a bigger front porch. That's all there is to it. All right, let's get to the telephones. John, Morehead City, North Carolina. Hi, John, what's on your mind today?
Afternoon, Todd. I can't believe it. A politician in New York State has solved the voter ID problem. Think about it. That passport, voter ID, got to have it to go vote.
Well, now that's one way to look at it. And again, if you've got to have a passport to go from New York to New Jersey, you ought to have some sort of an identification, at the ballot box. I think that's a fair point, John. Appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Hi, Janice. How are you today?
Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm good, Janice. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, well, there were two things that I wanted to say here, and I know a lot of people are not going to agree with one of them. But I'm going to say this again. There was a gentleman you spoke to, and he said that he went somewhere, and someone had said something about, you want a mask or something. And he said, no, I'm not sick. Well, there are people who have had the COVID. I'm not saying he did. It was probably he didn't. But there are people who have had it and did not even know they had it. It's called asymptomatic, but they could pass it on to other people. And, of course, I told you before about the man, he drove an Uber in Florida, and him and his wife, they thought it was a hoax. They didn't even think it was real or anything. Well, he found out what a hoax it wasn't when he did not cover his face, and he got it. His wife got it, and now she's dead. Now, I cannot say with 100% certainty that if he'd worn the mask, maybe he wouldn't have got it. I don't know that, but I would rather proceed with caution than defiance. Now, moving on to Joe Biden, a lot of people don't realize this. They don't know it, but I know. The other day, when he said that he came to the Senate 120 years ago, that became a big thing, and of course, I can understand that. But what a lot of people don't know, and I was able to find it last night, I knew it was out there, but it was going to be kind of hard for me to find because everything now is, president. He's the president and all this. But I did find it. It was 6 months ago when he said, he was speaking to some group or something, and he said, I came to the Senate 180 years ago. And, I'm asking myself, is he joking or does he really believe that? So I just really don't know. But this is the second time that he's done something like this. And I remembered it because when I heard it, I was telling a couple of people I know about it because they're Democrats, and I was letting them know, what condition he was in and everything, and that he really would not be the person that they should vote for.
Well, Janice, I don't think the president has a sense of humor, so I take him at his word. I think he genuinely thinks in his mind that he's been in this. He was in the Senate for 120 years. This man
first
is.
He said 180.
Well, the first time 180, then he said 120,
yeah.
And it is ridiculous, Janice. And the man is short tempered. He can barely put together a couple of sentences.
Words.
And it's very troubling. So I want to play some, and Janice, I appreciate you calling in. I want to play some audio, though. This is Joe Biden. He was talking about how you have a patriotic responsibility to wear a face mask. Let's listen.
I'm reiterating my call for every governor, mayor, and local leader to maintain and reinstate the mask mandate. Please, this is not politics. Reinstate the mandate if you let it down. And businesses require masks as well. the failure to take this virus seriously, precisely what got us in this mess in the first place, risks more cases and more deaths.
What?
Look,
what?
As I do my part to accelerate the vaccine distribution and vaccinations, I need the American people to do their part as well. Mask up. Mask up. It's a patriotic duty. It's the only way we ever get back to normal. To cheer together in stadiums full of fans. To gather together on holidays again safely. Go to graduations, weddings.
So now here's where Joe Biden and I are a little different. First of all, I am cognizant of where I am and who I am right now and what I'm doing. Aside from that, I believe that you have a patriotic duty to live your life as you see fit. You have a patriotic responsibility to take care of yourself. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. But don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me how I should conduct myself inside my church house. That is unpatriotic. That is un-American. And by the way, I've got to share this before we go to break. I heard this on the news this morning that Volkswagen was changing the name of its company to rebrand because they were building so many of their cars in America, and they were also going, I don't know, environmentally friendly. So instead of Volkswagen, they were going to call themselves Voltswagen, V-O-L-T-S wagon. Well, it turns out, after CNBC reported this breaking news this morning, it was all over the news, all over the radio news reports, we can now report that this was a premature April Fool's joke. So somebody over at Volkswagen sent out an April Fool's Day press release early, thinking it was the real deal. So all of you folks that are angry at Volkswagen, just calm down, cool your jets, because they're not changing the name of the company. Now, there you go. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, again, toddstearns.com. If you want information on any of the stories we're talking about, all you have to do, go to our live show blog. Grace has all the links there for you. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.